Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. HSV didn't miss anything when they re-engineered the Chevrolet Silverado for Australian roads. Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, baby, it's the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hello, guys.
Here we go, people. Strap yourself in. We've got music news all over the joint. Mick Jagger's back on deck. That's some good news.
I saw him on Twitter dancing his little butt off.
Oh, he is back, baby.
He looks healthy.
Stand clear. That's probably what they did minutes before he just got off.
Speaking of standing clear, John Daly, we've got a story about.
I've got a very interesting. There's golf cheats all over the place at the moment.
You're worried about John Daly?
I'm worried about John Daly.
Yeah.
I'm worried. We'll get to him in a minute.
All right, we will too.
He's a special man. Oh. There's an election update. Don't you worry about that. We're going to talk about Bert the Croc. Bert the Croc reckons he's made his tip.
Okay. Really?
You know they do that.
Oh,
occasionally we all get animals or something or psychics.
Yes.
This is a psychic crocodile.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh, that's so interesting.
Take the tone out of your voice.
Oh, sorry. I don't believe you.
Hey, loads of election news going around.
Get to the big one who we're talking to today. The great. The great. Come on.
I can't remember.
Peter Garrett.
Oh, Peter Garrett. Good Lord. Midnight Oil. The Oils. The brains behind.
They're going to do an amazing concert.
1098.
Birdsville.
The greatest album ever produced in Australia, I believe.
With a whole bunch of
He's
people.
Going to Birdsville.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a great guy.
You are an idiot or a dick if you don't go there to see the Oils.
It's very judgy, get on board.
That's the way I roll, baby.
We've got a crime watch. Stand by Perth. Well, actually, not Perth. Mount Lawley, we've got WA. Stand by. There's been theft in your area. We'll tell you about it.
Dangerous villain.
There is.
In your area. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. It's going to be a very big day on the show. But let's start at the top. You seem excited or overstimulated or something. Have you just had a Red Bull?
Hmm. No. It's like, Kath Day Knight when she says, I'm ecstatic.
What's the reason?
What's happened?
It's the Aldi Snow Gear special buy day on Saturday and I've got the leaflet in my letterbox and I'm just reading about it. I'm just been planning my day.
Roll it back a bit. Stop. Yeah, yeah. Stop.
Oh, sorry. You know how
Aldi?
Aldi have Wednesdays and Saturdays. Oh, my God. I've told you this 1,000 times. They have special buys on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
And what's like what?
Well, you can pick up, for example, a flute if you want.
Or an air conditioner.
Or an air conditioner.
A talking flute like the one on H.R. Puffin and stuff.
Not Jimmy the talking flute.
Why would I want a flute?
Because they sell musical instruments some
want a
weeks.
Flute.
Well,
I picked up a clarinet once.
Go try and buy a flute at a music shop and it'll set you back about a grand, mate. No jokes.
Don't make me.
I have had to price a saxophone recently.
But who is
and they
going,
cost $1,000.
Who is going to buy a flute?
Aldi's German Precision. A lot of German great classic musicians. Anyway.
Oh, man.
The good news is.
What about a clarinet? Do you say clarinet?
Yeah.
Jackie, what's his name gets his from there?
What's his name?
Who's the.
Kanye
and he's in
West's
The Simpsons.
Ackerbilk? I don't know.
No, Ackerbilk! Oh, with the hat on.
Kenny G. Ackerbilk. Kenny G.
Ackerbilk. That's all I can think of.
That reminds me of my dad.
So what? Yo-Yo Ma's going to go down to Aldi and buy himself a cello?
Maybe.
Why would he do that?
Electric guitar I've bought from Aldi and an amp.
Yeah, I can see you doing that. I can't see Slash doing that.
He might. Yes. Anyway, let me get to the point.
So Aldi, you've got a Wednesday sale.
Guess what time of year it is? It's the ski gear. Everyone will know what I mean by this. This is when Aldi goes berserk. People queue up. They're up for hours. They might be up overnight. I might camp outside. You know how you used to do for concert tickets?
It's just sad.
Why?
Ski gear is
really, really expensive.
What
and
if
Aldi
you're camping out
cheap?
For camping gear and you didn't have any?
Well, you would have got it the week before at the Aldi special buy camping gear sale, which I also went to, and I got night vision camera.
All right. What are you up to? Is this some Science of the Lambs things, is it?
I've got a night vision camera.
Creep around in your kids' bedrooms.
One of the boys might want to use it.
Didn't you buy a giant dinosaur off Clive Palmer?
Well, it might have been from his clothes.
Are you starting to think that you might have a problem here?
We need to have an intervention, I think.
You bought a clarinet from Aldi. You're buying a dinosaur from Clive Palmer.
Right.
You bought a
goggles.
Night vision
Let
goggles.
Me tell you about the ski gear.
Oh, are you going skiing?
No. But it's good to have it because it's so cheap. You can get the ski pants and the jackets. They're really expensive at ski shops. But guess what's happened?
Are you on a retainer from Aldi or something?
No,
I'm not. Is there anything I need to know about?
No, you know that I love Aldi and people are stupid if they don't shop there. They're such babies.
Apparently they don't bag your stuff up.
No. Oh, well, welcome to the 20th century.
Why would I go there?
Because
if I'm buying a clarinet, I won't expect someone to put it in.
That's why the prices are cheaper because
right.
they have less staff there. So you do it yourself.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, David.
Aldi are nervous.
Thanks, David, for your contribution.
Listen,
welcome. Cleared that all up for me.
There's a big hoo ha. Aldi are nervous.
Why?
Because Anaconda.
Yeah.
That's a camping shop.
I was about to ask.
You don't know anything like this, do you? Anaconda have got the sale on the same time as Aldi. They're going head to head, and they're doing $10 cheaper jackets.
Who's cheaper?
Than their ski. Anaconda has just put out
no
cheaper
kidding.
Jackets.
Aldi, you...
Stay, Aldi. Keep your head, Aldi. You'll be right. Hang
Aldi,
in there.
You're yesterday's news. You are done. You
How
are
about that?
Anaconda's got you covered.
That's incredible. And they're going to. There's going to be a Saturday morning rush.
Why don't we wait till it's like sub-minus degrees and get them to have a fight?
Well, they will be juking out. And you know what? I'm just looking at the women's snowboard jackets. All. Yeah. Really cool.
They have thermals, like underwear and stuff.
What? Why would you want to go into the thermal land?
Do you put your thermals on in your temper bed at home?
No, that's all part of the ski.
Ooh,
gear.
To rug
They're
up.
Expensive. Cold weather's coming.
Rug up.
And that's what you think.
Do you wear thermals in the winter?
Do you know what Dave's got, I reckon? What? You know the old Western underpants?
That's what I'm thinking.
It's got the little flap at the back so you don't have to take them off when you go to the toilet.
I'm seen with braces on and the flap and a shotgun.
I don't wear anything to bed. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, God, don't tell us that. You don't sleep in the nude, do you?
You've got to get that
you
bed
don't
back.
Sleep in the nude.
Oh, I don't sleep completely in
well,
the nude.
There's your anaconda.
That's being very complimentary. We should go to a song.
All right.
Thanks to HSV, the Chevrolet Silverado. It does everything big, very big.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Peter Garrett is going to join us soon. And by the way, we can put you on the standby list for the Big Red Bash, which is happening in Birdsville, Simpson Desert. So you go kennedymalloy.com.au. This is a huge weekend, 16th to the 18th of July, featuring Midnight Oil. And as I said, Peter Garrett coming up soon.
Speaking to him shortly. Yeah.
Just before we go on to some music news, we've got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve, I was talking about Aldi and they've got their super snow gear sale on that we've bought unbelievable stuff. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, I have, Jane. Yeah, I've got the best pair of boots I've ever had from Aldi for the snow. I've had them for about 3 years.
Have you ever been to the snow, mate?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's actually used them.
No, Mick, I'll wear them around Parramatta.
Well, who knows what you're up to, you lot, today.
Hey, Steve, we want to put you on the list too to get to Birdsville.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
You won't need your snow,
you can bring
you won't
them
need
there.
Your snow boots there, mate. Take some thongs. Yeah. Anything you can get from Aldi for the desert?
Of course there will be. There'll
Don't
be hard.
Take
there'll
that
be
tone with
there'll
me.
Be mosquito nets, tents,
clarinet.
Camping gear.
Have we got music news? I'm going to kick it off. All guess
right,
what?
Go.
Guess
what?
Who's back on deck? Mick Jagger.
Oh my God! Now, I saw this on my. It came up on my Twitter feed.
Yeah. So he had heart surgery 6 weeks ago. Hmm. He's letting fans know that he's back in performance mode with a spirited video, which you've seen, Jane Kennedy. It's on his official Twitter feed.
Yep.
And you may remember they had to cancel all their European dates.
Yeah, they did.
And we thought it was very, very
well. It was dire.
Grave,
we had he had a heart valve replacement.
I put him on the Deadpool. I thought he was. I thought this might have been it.
Well, no, because when you see
so
the
you're
moves,
trying to capitalise from he was having heart surgery, and you're trying to change the Deadpool.
Hey, I love Mick Jagger. I want him to live forever.
Well, have you? You've seen the video?
I've seen it.
And
well, first of all, I thought it was a little bit up yourself.
Oh.
Well, you know.
Well, he's up himself. That's
not
a surprise.
He's making it clear to everyone that he's fit as a fiddle, but he's really going overboard.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know the show Dance Mums? He's really...
Abby Lee Miller.
He's a bit Abby Lee. He's a bit some of those girls, like just a little bit too much energy.
Remember his old chicken dance? You know the old...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that was him having a heart attack.
Might have been too.
Well, no, he's
maybe
got
he was
some steps.
Asking for help.
Yeah. Well, it could be.
Who would have thought he would go before Keith Richards?
Yeah, true.
He's 75.
Keith Richards, he's done everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, it didn't stop him hitting on my girlfriend.
Oh, that's right.
I don't want to talk about it.
Mick Jagger?
Well, he did. And really? At a civic reception for the Rolling Stones.
That's
while I was standing beside her.
That's an honour.
That must
and
have been,
don't let me tell you what happened on Mystique. Because that... Never ask me.
We're never allowed to bring Mystique
never
up.
So Mystique is an island somewhere, isn't it?
It's an island in the Caribbean. David.
What goes
look it up on
there?
A map, but don't go near it. You get shot out of the boat. You wouldn't, get within 5 nautical miles.
Dave, once I got Mick a bit drunk and I started to ask
him. You start unpeeling.
And he started to tell me a little bit.
Like what?
Oh, my lips are sealed.
Oh, come on.
My lips are sealed.
Just saying, what happens on Mystique?
I know.
Stays
trust
on
me,
Mystique.
I'm not going to
repeat. I tell you what, though, if he dies, I'm gonna put a bid in on his house on Mystique. He's a resident.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense to me, knowing what goes on Mystique.
All right, that's good. Kate, go.
Oh, well, I've got exciting news.
What's
because
your exciting
I'm a fan.
News?
Oh. Well, you know.
No, where's this going?
Don't roll your eyes before I even say it.
Who is it?
I love the Spice Girls.
Oh,
right?
Good Lord.
And you know that they're forming back together for a concert, except without Posh. That's okay, because she didn't...
But what about the other two? What about...
The feuding, Jerry
feuding,
and...
Jerry and Mel B.
Yeah.
The sex addict, who's on my list. Take her to Mystique.
No, you wouldn't. She'd be an earache. You'd be over her in a second. Anyway, they're all getting back together. But you know The Bus, which is another movie I love? You know Spice World,
I
the
do.
Movie? Which was fantastic. It really was a great movie.
We're on Triple M. If you wanna be my we're on Triple M.
That's okay.
I repeat.
There'll be... I'm telling you, there's a lot of Triple M secret Spice Girl fans.
I'm telling you, there's not.
I bet you there are.
I interviewed Baby Spice back in the day, Emma Bunton. She was beautiful, lovely girl.
Ooh.
Back to you.
That's a bit creepy.
Did you sit at the end of her bed, Dave, like you did with
Poor
John Bon Jovi?
Baby Spice. What did you say to her?
What did you ask? What was your big question?
Well, she took that. They'd split up at this stage,
yeah,
so
she
was in
a single.
She had a solo career happening, and it was kind of like
that
you know.
Well.
No, it was like, right. You know, how's life after the Spice Girls?
Oh, God, scintillating questions. God. Anyway, you know the bus in the Spice World movie because they get on
the bus.
Well, someone owns that bus now and they're going to rent it out for Airbnb in London if you want to go around in the bus that they used in the movie. So you could lie on the bed where Mel B, who knows what she did on that. Who knows?
Get herpy.
It'd be a bit like that. You know, they'd have to go in that blue light on the Spice Girls. You know the blue light when the Current Affair do a story on, like, hotels and hygiene?
Yes. What are you saying? You've turned on the Spice Girls.
It'll be
like a cross between that and On the Buses. I'll get you, Blakey. I'll get you, Bill B.
Ding, ding.
Look out, it's Reg Varney, everyone. Hold that thought. Oh. Would you go over? Would you go over and rent something on the Airbnb? And
no, I wouldn't stay in a bus. I'd see the Spice Girls, but I wouldn't go on their bus. But I'm just saying, if you want to, you can relive your best 90s fantasy
on
the
that,
bus.
That film, The Gauntlet?
No.
Where they drive, Clint Eastwood drives a bus through a barrier to try and crash some kind of public.
A bit like Keanu Reeves.
A bit like Speed.
Do you know See, what? It, well, it's before Speed, Dave.
That's Speed. Let's
go to a break. Okay. Let's go to a break and come back with some proper music news.
Okay.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy driving.
We're still
up.
Doing music news because we ate up so much time talking about Spice Girls in the last break.
You're looking at me very accusatory.
Oh, I just expect more from you.
Well, that's all right. I'm
you
allowed
in a band?
To talk about.
What band were you in?
Highly Strung.
Highly Strung. They weren't like the Spice Girls.
Yeah. What were you? So like a
James Taylor-y bit.
Really?
Bit Stevie Nicks, bit Neil Young.
You're dropping some pretty big names there.
Well, I'm not saying we were them. I'm saying that's the type of music we played.
Edge of 17.
And can I just ask, did you buy all your instruments from Aldi?
No, I did not. I actually bought it from a guitar shop. Still got that guitar.
I went to a guitar shop to get a guitar. How outrageous. Hey. This is my favourite, Little Nas, Old Town Road.
Oh, you love this song. Yes. I love it too now.
It's just a ripper.
Everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just came out of nowhere. People love listening to it. From Texas to the top end of town.
Texas to Tamworth.
Texas to Tamworth. It's, well,
funny I should say that.
It's funny because it was, remember they even, it's on, so Billboard, it's number one for the last 7 weeks on the Hot 100 charts. Remember it was on the number one on the country charts.
Yeah.
And then they decided to take it off the country charts, I think because they found out he was black.
Oh, outrageous.
May have had something to do with it. Yeah. And then they put him back on.
Yeah, they didn't think it was country enough to warrant being on the country charts.
It's friggin' country. It's assisted by Billy Ray Cyrus. I mean, indeed. How much country do you need?
Completely.
But anyway, this is what I love. It's a giant killer, this thing. Mm. It's taken them all down. So Taylor Swift, who much anticipated release me, which I love. I promise that you'll never find another like me. Really special song.
Gives me shudders in a bad way every time I hear it.
Yeah.
So you got Old Town Road, then you got that. So, that should crush it.
No, Old Town Road crushed it.
Great.
So, there aren't many Taylor Swift releases that haven't gone straight to number one.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Your mates, Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber's collaboration.
Here they go.
Yes.
Oh, that's so upbeat.
Love that.
Up-tempo.
They reckon it's going to get done as well.
Wow.
They reckon that Lil Nas is going to hold it up.
Lil Nas. That feels justified.
Do you put this on in the boudoir?
Our kids love this song at home. This gets played everywhere.
It is.
Not in the bedroom.
It's quite a sexy song.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I could imagine doing the film clip.
I'm going to do it.
In a cowgirl outfit.
No, yeah. I don't see that.
Really?
So I see Lil Mick.
With the cowbell.
Little Mick, and I come out.
Like a miniature version of you on a big horse.
It's not Little Nash. I come out in a Shetland.
I got the horses in the bag.
Yeah, I come out in a Shetland looking really tough.
With a really tiny cowboy hat.
No. You're not going to take it seriously. I'm not going to do it.
Sorry.
Little Mick is pretty special.
Little Mick.
Little Mick comes out on a Shetland. And with a hanky round his neck.
Oh, my God.
Covering up all the chins.
That would clear the town. That would be a ghost
How
town.
How dare you.
In a flash.
But anyway, well done, Little Nat.
That's huge.
Have you heard of a country singer called Kacey Musgraves? You wouldn't. But she's really big.
She's gorgeous, by the way.
She's gorgeous.
Oh, and why is that a factor, Dave?
She's just been touring.
Do you like her music or not?
I do. I think she's...
Then why is that a factor?
I'm just saying she's a great face for country music.
Well, she's this era's Shania Twain.
Oh, you know,
don't you think?
Why do you keep bringing up Shania Twain?
Because I love her and
that.
You don't like her.
I think she's more Dolly Parton.
Biggest bitch we've ever
she's not. Are you saying?
She's more Dolly than
that
Shania.
Kacey Musgraves is more Dolly?
I think
what department?
Well, she has the
on
wigs
air, guys.
And...
We're on air.
All right.
Do you want to hear
what do you mean she's got all the wigs?
Oh, because she has all the
glamorous.
Wigs. Yeah,
you should do that.
She's more Kardashian. More Kardashian. Anyway, can I just tell you something about this girl?
Big baldy. I can see you.
I heard Michael Gudinski say this morning on radio on the Hot Breakfast in Melbourne, he said this, that this girl is huge. He went to see it.
Why didn't he get the grab?
Why didn't I get it? Oh, well, let's get it. It's a bit late now, isn't it?
Anyway,
well, why don't you trust me?
Okay, what did
he say? Can't I relay it?
Well,
he said that
it's like a Chinese
country
Christmas.
Pop is huge. So stand by for that.
This is Kacey, by the way. You hold tight to your umbrella. Well, darling, I'm just trying to tell you. She's adorable.
That
there's always
been a rainbow. She'd be good in a Disney movie, wouldn't she?
And then, like to, and in then the Little Mick rides in. I got the
horses in the back. You could do a mash. A mash-up.
Oh, yeah.
Of the two.
Great idea.
Anyway.
So why is he saying rock, country's big? When's
country
rock,
pop.
When's rock coming
country
back?
Pop. Rock's always there.
Hmm.
But I'm talking about something that the audiences in Australia have been expecting to see Kacey. She's been doing a shoey.
She doesn't want to do a shoey.
They wanted her to do a shoey from a shoe, which is a bit putrid.
I know what a shoey is.
I know, but they...
Where else would you do a shoey from?
Anyway,
she was in Sydney and they were chanting, do a shoey, and she's gone, no, I don't know what that is.
And then she found out and she cracked it.
Yes, so she did it in her concert in Melbourne, apparently, but she did it from a crystal slipper. A glass slipper like Cinderella.
That's not a shoey.
She had tequila in a slipper.
That is not a shoey.
It is.
Well, you should count that.
No. Could have been a, I'm trying to think of a shoe brand. Oh, you know, Manalo Blahnik.
What do I know?
Hush puppy.
A Jimmy Shoey.
Jimmy Chewy.
That's what you would do. Jimmy Chewy.
You do know your brands.
All right. Hey, just quick. Oh, no, look, we don't have time now. We'll do it on the other side, but there is some other news with Clive Palmer.
Oh, there
Tristan
is.
Right. We'll see if we get to
breaking
that.
Breaking news.
Just a minute.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Two more sleeps, Jane Kennedy, till the election, and it'll be a game changer. So
it will be.
The choice is yours. Make sure you get out and vote. It's vitally important to the whole process. Mm. Lots going on around the country. Can I tell you, Clive Palmer, he could well have bought his way into this. $40 million plus spent so far.
I reckon more even. Sorry to jump on you there, but it just is. Like, it's everywhere. The front pages, if you go on digital newspapers online, you can't even read it because of the Clive Palmer ads.
This bloke was on the nose. He hasn't paid workers from his abandoned nickel mine. That's where I'd be spending my $40 million, mate. He was on the nose, so this will be testimony to the power of advertising. And I think Russell Howcroft said that when he was on our show, because this will tell you what a spend or what a buy can
we'll
do.
Because if he
gets the balance of power, wouldn't it be funny, Australia, if he got nothing? What would be hilarious if Clive Palmer got nothing at the election
after that
big spend and still had to pay his workers out and still got...
Hey, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, he may well end up having to pay Twisted Sister because this is still raging.
Yeah.
So not only is he not paid his workers at his mine, he's also not paying Twisted Sister for using and appropriating their song in an ad.
Mm.
Now, this has been raging. He says it's not even a Twisted Sister original.
We're not going to take it.
We're not going to take it. You got it there for you.
I'll find some of it.
Always on the ball, Dave.
I've got Dee Snider.
Hang on. Before we get there, if we could just hear
the way they sang it on the Clive ad, because they didn't even have the original.
Oh, that's right. What
they had, we're not going to take it, and then they changed the words, didn't they? Well, that's the original,
That is the original. We're not going to cop it. We're not going to cop it anymore.
And it was sort of like, a Bunnings sort of band singing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Bunnings band.
So anyway, we had, what's his name?
Dee Snider
on our show to talk about this, and he'd just come out of a very important meeting at the time. Have a listen.
What did you do when you actually first visually saw Clive Palmer and what he stands for?
Well, I threw up in my mouth a little bit, which I haven't done since 1972. So, you've caught me at a really good time because I just came out of a meeting with Universal Publishing and the lawyers. I mean, they are going after this guy full bore.
Yeah.
And I just found out that their claim is that I didn't write the song, that the ghostwriter for the Velvet Underground wrote, we're not going to take it, and I have no legal right to it.
Oh, my God. This is bombshell.
This is global. It's global.
This is massive.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we found our clown of the year.
Can I just say, the thing that's most disbelievable about Clive's claim is that it was written by Velvet Underground. It's the most un-Velvet Underground song I could think of in the history of the world.
So what's happening now? He's refused to admit.
It's going to court.
He thinks
he'll win.
Wow.
And he'll think he'll
win. Good luck there.
He's no stranger to the court system.
Hey, Pauline Hanson was on the Today Show this morning. She's fired one back at Deb Knight, and she's pretty ruthless about it. Do you want to hear her having a chat?
To set it up, Deb Knight was going her about her popularity in the polls at the time.
Yeah.
And this one came back across the net.
The latest news poll, it shows support for One Nation collapsing to just 4%, on par now with Clive Palmer's party.
Deb, I've actually gone up since the last election. Unlike your show, Deb, since you've actually taken over, you've actually gone down in your viewership. So hand over your job, or should we bring Carl back? Well, should we bring Carl back, I just feel that you constantly have a go at myself and One Nation. Let the people have their say on Saturday.
Jeez.
Oh.
You got to pay that.
Ouch.
It's on the spot. Do you reckon... This is Deb. They're not having a great run on the Today Show.
They're not having a great run.
But she's opened up. She's lobbed one in and it's come back with something.
Fair's fair. Pauline had a lob, but you're right.
Pauline, it's hard to argue.
Psychic animals. We're going to get to that?
Let's do it now.
All right.
Because Bert the Croc's back. Bert the psychic crocodile is a psychic. Has he made his choice?
Did you say he's back? Has he been around before, traps before?
Don't tell me you're not sure about Bert the crocodile.
No.
Who's he picked? Who's he selected?
Oh, well, he predicted Malcolm Turnbull would be Prime Minister after the 2016. He's officially called it for Bill Shorten.
Bill Shorten.
Right.
All right.
He made the prediction today at Crocosaurus Cove. Okay.
What does he do, though? Does he get a piece of meat or what?
He jumps out of the water. I think they probably put a bit of meat with someone's name on it, and he goes, I'll have a crack at
ScoMo.
But there have been psychic animals in the past.
So we've had plenty. Oh, I remember. Now, who was the one? Was it the World Cup?
I think you're right.
Yes.
Was it the World Cup octopus?
Yeah.
It was an octopus.
Octopus. Rabiot.
And what was Rabiot's?
It was captured by a fisherman in Hokkaido. It correctly picked Japan's first three matches in the World Cup before it was sold to the fish markets.
And died. It's dead
now. Yeah, it's become a snack. But we know
about
it.
But they like eating.
You know what the octopus they need?
Who?
The one that tried to eat the girl's face off on YouTube.
The blogger? The video blogger?
It was a video blogger, and she was going to eat it live.
Now, how did you explain this? So, and it's a big octopus.
It's a big octopus. She's a young girl. I think she's from China. She'd been having her food blog for 2 weeks only. Yeah. And I got to tell you, this is pretty sweet justice. She was going to eat this damn thing live.
Yeah.
And it kind of stuck to her face.
There
and
go.
Here's her trying to pull it off.
When animals attack, give that
God,
girl
I love
her,
that.
Her own fishing show. Yeah. And just quickly to go, we're over time.
Yep.
Let's go to a break and we'll come back.
Okay, we've got more.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Now, you know I love golf.
Yes.
A passion of mine.
I know.
There's a couple of golf stories floating around at the moment. By the way, Jason Akermanis, who's our guest on the front bar tonight.
Back now, he's got a lot to answer to because there have been a lot of accusations thrown at Jason Akermanis.
Three golf clubs have accused him of cheating.
Wow.
So I'll be asking the hard questions.
Really?
Earlier, though, he's on A Current Affair tonight.
Yes, he is. It looks shady.
He's talking about, he actually turns up at the golf clubs to demand.
To take them on.
Demand satisfaction. So
that'll be very interesting. We'll watch that.
He'll be on. But I want to talk about John Daly, Jane.
Mm-hmm.
So John Daly, one of my all-time idols.
Well, also, he's a dude that used to smoke. Well, does probably
still smokes
on course, doesn't
so
he?
So I've played around with John Daly. And
that's
he
amazing.
Has a cigarette for every shot.
Does he really?
So every shot.
On the tee, he'll have a cigarette. Then he'll get to his first, where his ball lands, he'll have a cigarette. You can actually, and I've done this because for half the round I was playing in the group behind him.
Yeah.
You actually work out where he's been. It's
with
like a map.
Nuts.
Oh, he was in the bunker.
Why does he get all this? Why is he allowed to do that?
Well, because he's John Daly.
Oh,
so
God.
He gets all kinds of exemptions. This is the one I want to talk about. By the way, highlight of my career, I outdrove John Daly off the tee.
No kidding.
That is a good highlight.
Well, it was a par three and I was 40 metres out the back.
I'm sure that's good.
Humble brag.
What's he up to now? I don't think I like John Daly.
That is.
I don't like him.
But John Daly won a major drunk.
He looks
what
like
do you
he
mean
should
you
do,
don't like him?
He should do KFC ads.
He was drunk and he did it by hiding 6 cans of beer on the back nine.
Oh, my God.
So he could, he's hit it in the bushes.
Sounds like a character from an Adam Sandler movie.
Well, he is. And he's got himself a doctor's certificate.
Mm.
And it's got permission to use a cart during a PGA championship. Now, this has never happened.
Wow.
I have to
say. He's got photos, clearly.
Yeah.
What are all these exemptions he's getting?
Well, he's not well. He drinks a lot. He smokes a lot. And he's got the old doctor's certificate, which we do at golf clubs. You know you can. I've often limped into the pro shop to get a cart.
God, they better have that defibrillator on standby there for John Daly.
Well, John Daly. Well, his golf cart's probably fitted with one.
Has he got a chance, Mick?
He's won a major.
A long time ago. How's he playing now?
It doesn't matter. He's got a golf cart, Jane, and that's the main thing. So what you're trying to do now is get paired up with John Daly.
Don't you look down on that stuff? Golf etiquette?
Are you kidding me? This is genius.
He's got a golf cart.
This is pure and utter genius. I've never seen a man go around in a golf cart.
What's the advantage? Is the advantage
that
you don't have to
walk?
No walking.
Hey, 7.5 Ks, dude.
I don't think John Daly can manage that.
And that's if you're hitting him straight. Mate, as someone who has their own golf cart,
but that's okay. You're not playing in a major.
Yeah, I would put my hand up to chauffeur drive him.
Would you? You go over the stash of beers underneath.
I'd love to be a caddy. I'd love to be his caddy.
I would not.
What a cushy ride for the caddy.
No,
better than being Robert Allenby's. Isn't this just amazing?
Wow, that is amazing.
The only other bad cart use I've seen was Donald Trump. Who's talking of golf cheats? Here, what do they call him? Palay. Because he kicks it so often. that was his nickname at his golf and his golf club. But there's actually footage of him taken by other golfers of him driving his cart up onto the green, getting out, tapping it in, and driving off.
That's a no-go.
In the world of golf,
I think they should allow John Daly to do that.
You really do?
I do.
Anyway, well done, John Daly. I'll be watching. Well done. I like your style.
I've got a bit of an update about Tiger Woods.
What is it?
We finally found out what happened the night that it all went wrong with the golf club.
Was this the night he got hit?
Yeah.
So I'd love to have been his caddy that night.
No, it's the night that Ellen, the ex-wife, found out for good that he was having an affair.
Mm.
He had absolutely said it wasn't happening. All the press came out with it. And what she did was Tiger took some Ambien and was out of it. And she went to his phone. She saw the last message that was sent said, "You're the only one I've ever loved." And that was from Tiger, sent to someone. She called that number.
I'll get you in trouble.
And that Rachel Uchitel answered the phone.
Bad call.
Mm.
And Ellen said, "I knew it. I knew it." And Rachel Uchitel said, "OF dot, dot, dot." Knew that she'd been caught.
Is that when she attacked him with the golf club?
That's when she did. And he was really good. So he'd been on sleeping pills.
It was good club
that
selection too, to go to the car. Like, I would have gone a driver, but she's taken a long iron.
And then he sped off and he went over humps and
he's on Ambien.
It was just insane.
You're being attacked by your wife with a golf club while you're on Ambien.
Anyway, the president's just awarded him a presidential medal. So it's all good.
Yeah, that was the presidential medal for grabbing girls on the pussy, I think, was how that went. Both of them.
Yeah, they're good with each other.
The president said it, not me.
He did. I don't care if you say it.
Say it
away.
All right, well, good luck to John Daly, and I will be watching. This will be the highest rating.
I don't believe
you rate him. To see a bloke in a PGA.
You don't rate him.
I do.
Who do you really want to win? Come on.
John Daly in his golf cart.
Rubbish.
I want to see him get up there and accept the award.
No.
I do.
No, that's
totally into it.
All right.
Does he use a broomstick when he plays golf, or is that?
He shouldn't even have to tap out. They should give him putts. You can have that. All right.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The Big Red Bash is happening in the Simpson Desert. Midnight Oil are performing, and we've got their front man not too far away in the great Peter Garrett joining us.
You know what I'm going to ask him?
What's that?
What?
If I can join him on tour. So I can do the cowbell and read about
my God.
It. That's all I want to do. I don't do anything else.
It's that's just all? You're going to tour just do a cowbell in one song?
Yes. Yes, that's right. And then I do read about it, and then I go backstage.
Don't ask him now.
I'm going to. You got it there.
A little bit of Midnight Oil. So you got the.
And I just come out the start.
Yeah, you get
and the do start. This. This is all I do.
Here we go. You got to get the rhythm right, though.
You don't go fast enough on your cowbell.
It's pretty fast.
Do you know you got to go fast?
Oh,
you
got
to keep up with Rob Hurst.
Okay. Bang! Oh, wow. And I'm done.
Yeah,
sure.
And then
leave. I leave.
Show's over.
I leave.
Well, let's ask Peter. Okay.
No, I want to do that. Why can't I do it?
Well, you can.
And don't ever cancel me on cowbell.
But Rob Hurst is arguably Australia's greatest ever drummer.
Well, he is.
Doesn't
need and he plays a great
he
cowbell.
He would like to be freed up to drum while I do the cowbell, I'm sure. Here's how that works.
Okay.
And what do you mean I'm not fast enough?
you always do the cowbell a bit slow.
Oh, you play it again.
Okay.
Right, play it again. Here we go. All right, stand by. Biggie!
You finally got in time.
Not bad.
You finally got there.
Oh, sorry, I didn't buy my cowbell from Aldi. Sorry, Jane. Hey, I've got a job for you.
What have you got for me?
This is right up your alley. I'm afraid we might lose you to Kennedy, my boy.
Really?
Oh, what's happening?
Once you become aware of this, well,
is this people have alerted you to this?
People are writing in. All our listeners have gone berserk. A wine company is looking to pay a rosé influencer.
Oh, what?
$10,000.
Oh, Jane.
Get out.
And send them on a luxury trip to France to sample wines.
This is my dream job.
It is.
It's the lifestyle company and Vino Purveyor is offering $14,500 prize free trip to the Languedoc-Roussillon region in France. Does that interest you?
What's the wrong region for the best rosé?
Oh!
The best rosé comes from Provence. Everyone knows that. So maybe I really do know what I'm talking about.
So there's a no, is it? You've turned your nose up at the region?
They got no idea what they're talking about. That's not the best rosé.
You are.
God. I'm going to do a rival one. I'm going to set myself up in Provence and do a rival.
Maybe we should go there. Do you want to go and do an outside broadcast from Provence?
Yes. Rosé all day. That's what they say.
Well, Mickey's an influencer, so, you know,
you're an influencer.
There.
I can be an influencer too. Don't ask me how many followers I've
how
got.
Many followers have you got? How many? I'm not sure I can let you into the influencer club.
There's an underscore there somewhere too, isn't there?
There is. Jane underscore L underscore Kennedy.
Oh, my God.
35,000, I've been told.
Have I?
Yeah. Right.
How many have you got, Dave?
Good. I've told you before. 2,000.
2,000?
At Dangerous Dave W.
You should have more.
A lot of
those
are sympathy followers.
They are indeed.
How many have you got?
55,000.
You should be.
Yeah, I don't.
You should be 100,000.
You're on TV. You're on a number one rating TV show.
Come
you should be in the.
What's your Dave point? Hughes has got hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, exactly. None of them are real. Remember that story? Like, apparently, he had 97% or something of his followers.
No, he's got a lot of followers. No, he
not
just
real.
Relates to the people more than
what's
you.
What's your
handle?
You
do a show with him then. What if you love Dave Hughes?
I'm just saying he's an influencer and you're not.
What's your handle?
Mick Molloy 66, there and there's some stuff on there. Right. You want to get on board?
Really?
Up
really?
For the next day and a half only. Dick pics.
Okay.
Well, they won't let you put
They'll
them
pull
on.
That down.
They pull it.
Yeah, oh, no wonder,
man.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm an influencer.
Peter Garrett to join us next.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
And we're going to cover a bit of ground in this hour. Food news, Jane Kennedy.
Well, yeah, well, yesterday we talked about the charco.
I love the charco.
A cross between a chicken schnitzel and
oh,
a taco.
Oh, baby.
And we've got news about how you can have food delivered if you're sitting in a traffic jam.
And news from Macca's in Austria. We'll get to the bottom of that. Crime Watch is up and running. You're going to the great state of WA.
I am. Careful of your pot plants, everyone. Oh. Big news. Plant thieves
there's
going
on. There's a thief
on.
In your known area. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but I'm very excited to let you know we're going to start right off the top with this bloke.
Who knew that more than 40 years ago, when a young Peter Garrett at uni in Canberra answered an ad looking for a vocalist in a band, it would lead him and Midnight Oil to the ARIA Hall of Fame.
To sing songs that meant something to us and that we hope meant something to you. Songs that mattered, and occasionally to do things that made a difference.
One of Australia's most beloved bands, with commanding performances and powerful lyrics that every Aussie knows. They're about to head on a European tour, and then contrast that with the world's most remote music festival.
Thank you for coming out tonight.
When they headline the Big Red Bash in front of a sand dune in the Simpson Desert.
We made friends in the desert and wrote songs about the beauty and tragedy of the Aboriginal nation.
Plus, there's rumours the Oils might be getting in a studio this year. Please welcome Triple M rock royalty, Peter Garrett.
Oh. You are rock royalty, you know, to us, Peter, Sir Peter.
Oh, no. Look, I got to tell you, when I met a bit of British royalty, I actually thought that that was the Duke of something when I was in government. I thought this person was related to a horse.
Yeah, what would your title, what title would you gun for? Would you like to be, if you had one, would you like to be a lord, a duke?
Grand Chancellor.
Grand Chancellor. Yeah.
King Poobah, you are to us, of Triple M.
In charge of his own bathroom.
Yes.
Well, welcome back, you're in friendly turf here at the House of M's.
Yeah.
We play your music a lot and we never tire of it. It's truly magnificent. Talk us through, we're going to get to some other exciting news about you going back into the studio, but talk us through the Big Bash and what kind of gig are we looking at here? I can't believe that I'm not going to get to see this.
No, I think it'll be good. I mean, we going back out into Europe, we did the big 2017 run. That was a great circle and we got lots of playing done, but we're doing it. To call it mopping up is probably a little bit cruel, but we're finishing up in Europe with festivals, mainly in Germany, and then we'll do some other dates in Paris and London.
Peter, which country, which fans have surprised you in Europe that are really into you?
Gee, that's a really good question, Jane. Let me think. I would have to. I mean, I'm married to a German, so I have to be carefully here. She's been here for a long time, but nevertheless.
Oh, no.
I think the Germans, because they are very, very passionate, but in a very serious way.
Right.
And that's the kind of band that we are, so we like
yes,
that.
That's cool. Great. And can I ask, who, when you perform overseas in those European towns, who's coming? Are they, are these fan bases from overseas or expats? Who's the Midnight Oil audience in that part of the world?
Oh, look, it's a mixed grill. You know, you'll have people who've grown up with the band for when we first toured there. See, people probably, I mean, we never made it, we didn't really get the trumpets out about breaking through in Europe, even before Beds, but certainly after Beds. So we'd play to a lot of clubs and music fans, hardcore music fans.
Yes.
It just spreads out from there, I guess. So, you know, it's guys over 50 with their T-shirts and then it's their kids.
Well, Germany has a great history of where bands first began. Of course, the Beatles were the
exactly.
same. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's gotten much wider than we thought, and it's a really interesting question, because when we got to South America on the last run, we hadn't played there for, what, 12 or 13 years, and we had no idea whether, A, anybody would be there, and B, who they'd be, and it was pretty much everyone. So to use a terrible expression, wide demo.
Yes, no, we don't mind expressions like that.
And from all those places to the Australian outback.
Wow.
Yeah.
You couldn't get more contrasting than those toffs milling around in Europe. Is it like going home to you when you get to play out in the desert in that kind of environment?
I think the band always has absolutely relished being outside and playing outside. We really do love it. Obviously, we went back in the day through that part of the world and had a big impact on us, both individually and also musically as a band. There's something about the desert air, the nights, the colour, the sort of silent strength of the landscape, which is quite phenomenal. I've nothing like it on Earth. So when the opportunity came up, we just thought, that sounds like us in front of a 40-foot sand dune. Yeah, we can do that.
And no noise complaints, which is always fun, isn't it? Yeah.
And some pretty great people too also performing, including The Living End, Richard Clapton, often gets mistaken for me.
My doppelganger.
1927, wow, Casey Chambers, Busby Murrow and more. And they're expecting about 10,000, Peter, in Birdsville in outback Queensland.
It's funny because people come up to me in the street and saying, I really want to go, because apart from the warm-ups before we go into Europe, that's the only playing that we're going to do. So how do I get there? Well, actually, I think people can get buses from Brisbane. I think there are charters that people can get. I think they can drive themselves out. It's going to be one of those things that if you did it, you would never forget it. I think it's, for me, I'm looking forward to being out there. Also, for us, it's a kind of, it's interesting because it's a good motivation for us to plough through to the end of what we have to do in Europe is the thought that we'll be able to come back and just rip it all out with no constraints and play out there, you know, somewhere that's the most remote festival in Australia.
Oh, sounds incredible.
Yeah, not the world.
Incredible.
Sounds like ground zero for you, your natural habitat. We're going to take a break. We're playing an Oil song. What are we playing, Dave?
We're going to get on US Forces from
Midnight Oil
right now. When we come back, we want to talk about the election and the idea that you may be going back into the studio.
All right. Peter Garrett, our special guest.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
There it is, US Forces, Midnight Oil. Hey, by the way, here on Kennedy Malloy, we're giving you a chance to join Midnight Oil and The Living End of the Big Red Bash. Be listening. Also, kennedymalloy.com.au to register to win tickets. The great Peter Garrett joins us now.
Peter, you must be at this time really shedding a tear that you're not involved in frontline politics.
Actually, Peter,
it's been a beautiful thing to watch, hasn't it?
Peter, I saw you go a bit white there when Mick said before the break, he said, and you might be going back into the studio.
He picked it.
What about this election?
Well, I mean, they say that every election's the most important one around, but I do think this one is. I mean, for me, it's all about climate change and being serious about it. And, you know, I mean, there'll be no surprises for your listeners. I was a Labor politician. I hope that Labor can get over the line, but I think the country will be a better place if it does.
Do you feel there seems to be generations pitted against other generations in this country now? It feels like everyone's pitching for a baby boomer vote, yet there's this groundswell of Gen X, Gen Y, millennials who are all going, no, there's more important issues on the table than franking credits.
I think that's right, Mick. I very much agree with you. And I think it's not only happening here, but it's happening in other parts of the world as well. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm a boomer, so, you know, I'm partly guilty, but, you know, we're the generation that did very well. And now my kids can't afford to live in Sydney, you know.
Yep.
And they're also extremely concerned about their kind of lives over the next 20 or 30 years if we keep on heating the planet up. So I do think there's a bit of a divide. That doesn't mean to say that people on either side of that age barrier don't care a lot about environment or don't care about other issues like education. But it's been, for me, as someone who's been in it before, it's been both a frustrating but also a liberating experience to watch it all unfold. because I think, you know, the discipline that we've shown, I think, has been pretty good. And there's some good policies out there, and I think that's the sort of thing that you need to make a difference. It's not rocket science, actually, government, you know, when you break it all down. It's just about having some good policies and getting access to a bit of money to put them into practice.
Well, we love seeing you do what we think you do so well, and that is back in the band, performing, writing, et cetera. Recently, we went to a Killers concert, and didn't they sing an Oils cover as
they
well?
They did, an absolute...
Did you know they were going to do that?
Yeah, I did actually. It's funny, I ran into Brandon when we were coming back from a festival in Sweden and we got chatting, and I knew the band, but I didn't really know him, and he said, oh, I'd love to do one of your songs. I said, mate, go for it, you know.
It was
crack, but you better do it well.
Oh, man.
Well,
I'll tell you
he
what.
Did. It was unbelievable.
He did it justice. Are there any cover versions of your songs that you've heard or know of people that you think, oh, that's a bit out there? Like Celine Dion hasn't asked, you know, can I do a cover version?
Actually, there are rather too many covers of Beds because it's such a big radio song and a big club song overseas.
Yeah.
And there's a, I don't know whether it's where it's from, I think it's France or Belgium, a disco version that really is.
Wow.
<it's,
laughs>
hey, we'd like to get our
hands
on that.
It's worse than the Bombers losing.
Oh, no. Now, if you're getting back in the studio again, what inspiration are you pulling? Because, you know, your writing is so inspirational to so many of us, and we love how you write and what you write about. What are you going to be doing when you're going back in the studio this time?
Well, I think we weren't sure that we would go in, just as we weren't sure that we'd play.
Get in there, you lazy bastard.
No. We really want to, I mean, we do get very intense about what we're doing and trying to make it work as well as it can. Mm. And having played and enjoyed all of that, well, bring some songs in and see what. So, of course, Rob's brought a bunch of songs in. Jimmy's brought a bunch of songs in. Martin and I have brought some in as well. And we'll just sit through those and see what we've got. It's really important that they excite us, you know.
Yeah.
If it's not exciting for us, then there's just no point in going any further. But up to now, it's starting to sound pretty
good. Do you all get excited at the same time? Like, is it, you go, yeah,
not
we're on the same page. Oh.
can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
More cowbell.
Oh, my God.
I love the cowbell at the start of Read About.
You know why he's doing this? He's angling to get in the band, Peter. He's got this bloody cowbell with him.
What if I came on and just did the two taps of a cowbell before Read About It at one of your concerts?
You realise you'd have to audition, and Rob is a pretty harsh judge.
He's pretty good on the cowbell.
Just how's Rob holding up? Because as a young man, the Oils go fairly hard, it's fair to say.
Yeah,
and as
true.
A young man, he used to bash the living bejesus.
Yeah.
Is he still... Do you have to sub him in or out, or is he still? He
He does the whole four quarters.
Fit as a fiddle.
Honestly, I'm talking about my mates, but by the time we got towards the end of it, I was sort of standing there at night thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening. I think it was partly because the audiences were really very strong, and you know they give you a lot of energy. And by the time you get off, and then you sort of go you realise that it's been a long one. But
I told a story the other day about my mate Paul Hester, who filled in for Rob Hurst once, and
I remember that actually.
I've never seen a more shocked look on a man's face. I said, "How'd you go?" He goes, "Yeah, those songs are pretty fast and hard." This is a guy coming from Crowded House where he used to brush the cymbals.
I remember. He's just done the marathon. He said, you got to do that tomorrow night? We're like, yeah, come on, mate.
Hey, we can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us and the music you've provided us. And I would be there with bells on for the Big Red Bash in Birdsville if you didn't have
your stupid television show,
stupid
mate.
Television show. And to see you there in the desert would be like... Your
it's
natural
so
habitat, ground zero.
I might get up there myself.
It will be a special
please,
event.
Please try.
I'm going to try and get there, Peter.
Right,
thank
great.
You so
Thanks,
much
man.
For talking to us Good today.
You,
Peter Garrett.
BigRedBash.com.au to buy tickets. That's Peter Garrett.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
I need to report a crime.
Kennedy Malloy's crime report.
All right, you kick us off, Jane. Where are you going first?
I'm going to WA. To Mount Lawley. Yeah.
Mount Lawley. I've been there.
Have you?
Wonderful place.
Beautiful. Well, they've got lovely leafy suburbs in Mount
Lawley. They do indeed.
Lovely
Very
houses.
Very good bowling club.
Yes, indeed. Mm. That's right. They keep their front lawns beautifully manicured.
All right. What's the point?
They have lots of plants. There's a plant thief on the loose.
Good Lord. Is there any other kind? That is unbelievable.
Owners in of a house in Mount Lawley have had to take the drastic step of installing temporary fencing to stop a bloody thief of their plants. They pop them in the ground.
Is he a serial thief? Is it more than one house?
They've had to. They've
is there
got
a pattern of behaviour?
There is a pattern.
Is there a certain type of plant
he
likes?
Oh, no, I think it's just your, it could be your succulents.
Your deciduous?
Yes.
You can't say deciduous on radio.
I can't. I'll dump that.
You dump that.
Hashtag me too.
Do you know who I think it is? Don Burke. This has got the hand of Don Burke written all over it.
That's dreadful.
Are they digging it out of the ground?
Yes.
They're not just pots. They're... Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, they've had to put a sign up in the front yard. Oh. A very big sign, mind you. It says, "We have a repetitive plant thief in our neighbourhood. To the individual, or S individuals, involved, shame on you. This thief has been reported to the police." That is so pathetic.
If you were
going to
steal a plant, what one would you go for?
I would
like
go,
if you were mapping it out and you had all the pictures on the wall,
yep,
and stuff.
What would be my plant of choice? Oh, a gardenia.
Oh yeah,
yeah, definitely.
I tell you what's one of the most expensive is your grass trees. They're really expensive.
Grass trees.
Sounds like we may have a plant thief in the studio. Someone who's done their homework.
No, I just know they are expensive.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time outside and gardening with
green thumb.
What happened to that tool that you used that you stole from the office?
I didn't steal it.
Yeah, the one that you're
so you're a thief. You're a known thief.
Wow.
Who steals garden implements? I'd go a rhododendron.
Oh yeah,
the bush.
My God, you're obsessed with rhododendrons.
Well, have you seen?
About the second time you've mentioned
them this week.
Have you
seen a more beautiful?
Yes, I have seen lots more beautiful flowers than a bloody rhododendron.
I don't trust you.
You're not thinking of a hydrangea, are you? Do you know what a hydrangea looks like?
No.
Oh, they're a bit fickle. Hydrangea.
A bit what?
Oh,
fickle.
Would you ever steal a fern?
A maidenhair fern. Maidenhair ferns were very big in
what
the 70s.
What about the wild plant? You know the one. The bird's eye.
Yeah, birds of prey.
Birds of prey.
Birds of paradise.
I beg your pardon.
God, who am I working with? Clearly not Don Burke. No one here knows anything about gardening. Well, you're off the hook.
What about a potted plant? Do you like a potted plant or do you like a more natural plant?
No, dumb, over potted plants.
What about a plant put in a windowsill arrangement?
Nah, unless they're herbs.
What about...
stop asking.
What about 20 marijuana plants in my roof? Under hydronic.
You couldn't look. This is one thing
I know. I had one of those stolen once.
Did you?
Oh, well, the cops would know.
I dropped to my knees and wept. I was at uni at the time. Yeah. Just a crazy kid.
Did you have a crop house?
Not a whole house.
Not quite. Let's watch the implication.
I had it in the back garden. And I should have known because there were builders on the roof of the next house. And any idiot should have put two and two together.
I can't believe you kept something alive.
The next
to be frank.
The next day, there was just a trail of dirt leading out the side of my house over a back fence.
Really?
There's
another crime watch story I've got.
What?
This time we go to Germany, to Dusseldorf. Have you been there? You've been to Berlin?
I don't care for Dusseldorf.
What have you got against that place?
I'm a Berlin man. Oh.
Well, police in Germany, this is Dusseldorf,
or as I call it, Dickeldorf for dicks.
Okay, of course you say that. A guy was selling a Ferrari.
It's a $3 million Ferrari.
Yeah, but he put it to a car showroom. The salesman had a guy come up and said, "I'd like to test drive that 1985 rare Ferrari 288 GTO. He said, "Sure, I will come with you."
So you do the German, but you refuse to do your Asians. I want you to do your Asian accent.
Because my Asian, I've told you, my Asian accent is racist.
Just give us a little bit.
Don't push me. It's terrible. No, my children tell me that it's very racist.
Can I hear the Sergeant Schultz again? That was pretty good, though.
But yeah, I will want to go in this Ferrari, take me for a drive. So yeah, we get in the car.
That's your Inga from ABBA. That's your...
That's not... This is German. I'm telling you, it's German. So they get in the car and they ride for 2 hours.
Squeezy. See, wine's
They
good.
Drive for 2 hours. Listen to this scam. So the dude waits until the car salesman gets out of the passenger, right? He goes, "This is terrific." Bam! He puts the foot on the throttle. Boom! He's off. Car gone.
Oh, no.
$3 million worth of vehicle.
Wow.
During a test drive.
Well, he's an idiot. Forget
letting
a guy.
Stories.
Good luck catching him.
Yeah.
He's in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
They did find the car. Abandoned by itself, all alone. But it was all right. They're looking for the guy now. It's a very interesting description of this man.
Okay.
What is it?
He spoke broken English. He's between 50 and 55 years old. Heavy set. With a beard.
Get out. go to a break.
All right.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
I like food.
Bun.
It's disgusting.
Kennedy Malloy's Food News.
Eat it. Just eat it. Going overseas, Jane.
Yep.
Austria. McDonald's in Austria will double as a US embassy for tourists in need of help.
Well, that's because there's nothing else to do in Austria.
Well,
there's not.
Isn't there?
So you can claim asylum in a Macca's?
Yeah. So that's if you're where in I'll trouble, they will put you onto the US embassy.
That's where Julian Assange should go. He needs a good feed.
No. Why
he's a bit pasty.
Oh, yeah. He needs a good
feed. He could go there and
that's bizarre.
He could have a Big Mac and invite Pamela Anderson around for a
Why did they choose Austria of all countries?
Well, no.
Well, I don't understand.
No, obviously, there's trouble in Austria for US citizens, and they can now.
Well, like what sort of trouble?
You know,
what trouble would you get into there?
I'm guessing it's some kind of sex crime. I know those crazy Austrians.
No, that's Belgium.
Big load of Joseph Fritzl. If you're out there.
In Vienna. That's where Fritzl.
No.
Fritzl name.
No, I think you're fine.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know my sex pests. So, could you imagine having to go to...
Well, yes, it would be very convenient, especially for a backpacker.
Well,
because that's where you'd be going for a feed. And
it's great for Americans because they're usually there anyway.
That's true.
Big fatties.
Well, they just don't like eating any other food.
Correct. If you had to choose where to seek asylum, I'd probably go KFC.
Mm.
For the choco.
Yeah.
For the choco,
don't
the new chicken
again.
Taco.
That's a Dave, chicken schnitzel.
Did you buy one for your wife yet?
No, she wouldn't like a choco.
Why would he buy that?
Well, so I suppose you've got to wait for a special occasion.
That's true.
Like, I know.
It's our wedding anniversary soon.
So what was Mother's Day?
What cuisine was Indian.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, you'll probably, is it just something from the vending machine, is it? out the front here.
Yeah, Baker's Delight.
And then maybe some chocos.
Yeah, all right.
Explain what a charco is again. We had it yesterday.
You explain it. I can't do it without my tummy rumbling.
Okay. It's a whole chicken schnitzel, but it's bent in half.
Like a taco.
Like a taco shell. In the middle, you put all the fixins that go in a taco, like a bit of the salsa, guaca, sour cream.
Okay. Can I have a moist towel for the studio?
Cheese, lettuce, tomato. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Cracked one.
Hey. That's him. Really? You can crack it over that.
All right. What have you got? We've got something else?
Hey, I've got another one. This is really interesting. Burger King is planning to start a delivery service to people who are stuck in traffic jams.
This is a good idea.
That is a good idea.
This is brilliant. They've been testing it in Mexico City, in Sao Paulo, Los Angeles, and Shanghai.
So I've been to Sao Paulo. Yep. And why they do it is because you can be in a traffic jam for 8 hours.
Oh, man.
So once you're in it, you're in it.
Why would you live there? Yeah. That's terrible.
That's just part of the deal. Oh, we can't all have first world problems like yours.
Well, we can't have drivers take us everywhere, can we?
Now, that's just lashing out. You need to apologise.
No, I will not.
But no, so in Sao Paulo, I know this is a fact, there's a whole industry of people who ride around on bikes and do that. It's a service industry. They'll take your laundry. They'll bring you food. They'll do your coffee.
You're kidding.
I'm not joking, because they ride up and they know it's like a moving kind of city.
This is crazy.
So no wonder that now the fast food restaurants are going, mate, why? If they can't come to us, if they can't.
That's ingenious.
If the drive-through is not an option, we go to them.
Wow. It's because they've been struggling.
Let's be honest, this is the end of civilization. Once you can order a Burger King to come to you in your car.
Yeah.
In a traffic
on
jam.
On the freeway.
Oh, jeez.
Do they make return visits? If you'd go about 5Ks and go, oh, my tummy's rumbling again. Oh, a flame-grilled burger.
I might sit down in the car park. just in my car.
Both of us are salivating now.
All right. That's something you could do, Dave, maybe surprise your wife.
Yeah.
By getting in a car and then ordering from Burger King.
I like it.
The next thing, you turn up.
Yep.
Well, let's hope they bring it to Australia.
That car will be rocking. You cannot
excellent.
Miss.
Oh,
all right.
I love a good Burger King burger.
Give me a choco.
Okay.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
Behind the wheel of the HSV Chevrolet Silverado.
Imagine driving the HSV Chevrolet Silverado to Birdsville to watch Midnight Oil play. Yeah.
I wouldn't even get out of the vehicle.
Well, you know you wouldn't have to. You know what you do when you get there? Mm. You'd back it in like you're in the drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
You'd roll out the swag.
Yep.
Yeah.
Drop the trailer. Drop the lid.
How brilliant would that be?
And just stand there and rock along.
A few bevvies in the back.
You could put Peter Garrett in the back. He could dance down and rock on the tray of the
Silverado. Well, he'd see it and he'd go, what in God's name is that? And we'd shout out, it's the Silverado Chevrolet, mate. Yeah. Come on
over. Come and dance in the tray of the Silverado, big fella.
This would really suit Peter Garrett to be in one of these. A big black one driving around the country with its big engine and its pulling power. They could pull
the tour bus.
They could pull it.
They could pull the tour bus.
Five ton. Yeah. Wrap your head around that. That's
a lot of weight.
That's a whopper. Yeah. Beautiful interior.
You could tow the tour bus.
Yeah, you could. Easy.
They could say,
could just take it easy for
you. You could nudge the tour bus. You could put this thing behind it.
Yeah.
I love this. This is the most impressive bit of automotive machinery I've seen in my lifetime.
Well, bigger is better, and that's what I've always said.
Bigger is better, dicks.
Right.
If you're going to go for it, you may as well go the whole hog.
Yeah.
Go the plonk. Grab yourself one of the greats, the HSV.
It's city vehicle and country as well.
Mm. Mate, it can't be tamed.
You can't categorise it. And everyone will stop and stare, and you'll pull the chicks and you'll pull the guys if you're in this. You totally will, because you won't believe it when you rock up in this.
NASA should study this.
And it's really luxury. I mean, you don't muck around. Don't get one if you're an idiot.
You could probably see this from the moon. Like, if you look down from the moon back on Earth, you'd see
it. You'd probably see it.
That's how big it is.
I'd like to see it.
Well, you got your Southern Lights appearing soon.
I'd like to see it re-entering our atmosphere.
Yes.
You wouldn't need heat-resistant tyres like those pussy shuttles.
Ah, exactly.
This thing would just hit the ground running.
Get one of the tyres
with the wheels spinning and off it goes.
Nah, this is brilliant.
I really love it.
All right. Well,
you know my thoughts.
Yeah, you do. You love it.
And
it's a work truck for life. Get it. HSV.com.au.
Well done, everybody.
Chevrolet Silverado.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Just about done for the day. Been a great show today. Kennedy Malloy, grab the podcast.
What was your favourite bit, Dave?
Peter Garrett, without question.
Me too.
You love Peter Garrett.
I do love Peter Garrett. We're sort of similar in looks.
It was pretty good. Jane, what was your favourite bit?
Peter Garrett.
All right. Yes, me too. Hey, by the way, we've got some front bar tickets to give away.
We do indeed. You're on the telly. You've got to head down to Channel 7 soon. Back on the telly.
Jason Ackermanis.
Oh, wow. Are you going to ask him about the cheating scandal?
I am. He's also on A Current Affair tonight.
I saw that
promo.
He's
on A Current Affair, going back to the golf clubs with the Current Affair
reporter.
This is
the three clubs that have piffed him out.
To get in their face.
Well, he's taking it on the front foot, obviously, and he's going to be very upfront with you, is he? I hope so. Will you grill him?
That's one thing I can't stand.
Golf cheat.
To me, that's witness protection.
You'll let him tell his side of the story?
Nope.
We'll see it tonight, 8:30 in Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth and Hobart. Check 7, mate, for the other states. And 133353 to get yourself a double pass.
To give away if
you
get to
the
studio.
We have got Jay Farrow. Oh, mate, he's okay.
Oh, my God. As an impersonator?
He's okay, but his voice is minor.
Man of a thousand voices.
Okay, let's see. What about Bob Hawke?
What about John Michael Hollywood House?
Oh, let me tell you all about it. Oh, I can't wait to come on.
Bert Newton.
Hi, hi, hi.
Well, we're going to have somebody who's really good at impersonations tomorrow. He's on Saturday Night Live. He's a great new talent.
He's heard that.
I don't think he's afraid. I don't think he's afraid.
Well, that's Jay Farrow tomorrow for a big Friday. Kennedy Malloy. See you then.
Now you're done catching up on Kennedy Malloy. Check out the Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big.